Lord bless you.
Thank you so much, Brother James, and thank you, Brother Travis, for that good, humble prayer. I apologize for the way my camera jumps around. I'm on an iPad and it detects my movement, and I don't know how to make it quit doing that. So y'all forgive that. But if somebody knows how to do it after, we can do it. But I hope it'll do okay. But it's a wonderful privilege to be with y'all tonight and see the smiling faces I've seen on the screen, and we're very thankful to have this opportunity, and what a blessing it is to be with the saints of God in this way. And, appreciate the good humble prayer, and just ask that we continue to pray as the Spirit that the Spirit would continue to be with us, and that the Spirit would bless. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the first chapter of the book of Revelation, beginning in verse 8, where the Lord would say, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first letter and the last letter of the Greek alphabet." He's the A to the Z, and he's everything in between. He says, "The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." We know that the Lord was. We know that from the very beginning, he was already there. We know that he will be. But you know, I thank the Lord tonight that he says, which is. He's not only the God of yesterday, and he's not only the God of tomorrow, but he's the God of today. The psalmist would say, "The Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." He is our refuge and strength. He was yesterday, and I trust he will be tomorrow. But I thank God tonight that he's is our refuge right now, because we, at the end of the day, have to live in the here and now. We can't do anything about what happened yesterday, and we're not yet in tomorrow, but we live moment by moment. And I'm so thankful that we serve a Lord that is. He said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty, having all strength and all power and all glory and all grace." He said, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation." How sweet it is for the apostle that was blessed to lean on the Lord's breast at supper, who is the one that the Bible would say he's the one whom Jesus loved, that he had been so close with the Lord Jesus, but yet he didn't view himself above his brethren. But he didn't say, "I'm an apostle and you're something lesser." He just said, "I'm your brother and I'm your companion in tribulation." These were difficult days in which to live, and we have our share of tribulation even now. Brother Travis alluded in his prayer to the horrible things going on in our nation. But it's a blessing that as we go through the trials and tribulations of life, that we realize we have brethren, and we realize we have companions in tribulation, that we are not alone. John was banished here on this Isle of Patmos. He'll save your companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. That word patience literally means cheerful endurance. And there's no better example of cheerful endurance anywhere at any time than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the epitome of patience. He's the epitome of cheerful endurance. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm a little better about enduring than I am about cheerfully enduring. There's things I've endured that I didn't do it cheerfully. But I'll tell you, the Lord showed perfect patience. And you know, sometimes when I get impatient, it's because I'm just really not thinking right. You know, I may be in some line at a business establishment. I'm thinking about something else I need to do because I'm standing in this line longer than I want to. When I really ought to be thanking God that I have the ability to stand in the line. There's some people that are either bedridden or maybe confined to a wheelchair that would love to stand in the line that I'm impatient standing in. Now, I really ought to take a step back and have some cheerful endurance and be thankful that I have the ability to stand in that line. He said, I'm your companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Patmos was a rocky island. It was a place where prisoners were banished, and they were usually, according to history, required to work in the rock quarries of Patmos. The Greek word there, Patmos, literally means my killing. It was a difficult place to be. And this great apostle, the one who had walked so closely with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who had seen him heal the blind and literally reach out and touch the leper, the one who had seen him even raise the dead to life, is now the last of the 12. And he's banished on this rocky island of Patmos because he was faithful in the word of God and he was faithful for the testimony of Jesus Christ. The churches that he had been affiliated with, he might could look across the sea and get a glimpse of them, but he couldn't get close to them. And I'm sure it would have been easy for Satan to whisper in his ear, John, you used to be a big man. You used to walk with the Lord. You used to lean on his breast at supper. You used to see his healings and walk along the hills of Galilee with him. But now you're all washed up. And you're on this rocky island, and I'm sure the devil would tell him the Lord's forgotten all about you. You used to be something to him, but he's forgotten about you now. What would somebody in that situation need more than anything? What would he need to see? What would he need to hear? What do we need to see tonight? What do we need to hear? John would go on to say, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You know, it'd be easy on a rocky island just to forget what day it was. It'd be easy to lose track of the days, and maybe a Sunday seemed like a Monday or Tuesday, just to lose track of the days on this rocky island of prisoners. But John knew what day it was. Now, would to God we as children of God would always know when the Lord's day rolls around. And we'd be ready for it. We'd be anticipating it. We'd be looking forward to it. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I believe he had been praying, Lord, bless me this day. Bless me on the Lord's day. And we should come to the Lord's house on the Lord's day, asking for the blessing of his spirit. The Lord Jesus would tell the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, he would say, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. And I believe by that living water, he's talking about the Spirit. Now, I want to tell you, there's a sense in which tonight we cannot ask for the Spirit in the sense that no unregenerate, no person dead in trespasses and sins could ever ask for the Spirit that is to be born again. Because a dead man can't ask for anything. A dead man can't do anything. But I'll tell you, there is a sense in which we do ask for the Spirit. I trust we've been asking for him tonight, not only in Brother Travis's prayer, but in all of our prayers. And I trust we ask for him as we meet in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Lord, please bless us with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, please bless the ministry to be blessed with the Spirit from on high, and bless us to hear the things that even the angels desire to look into. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. That's hard to ignore, a trumpet. We've seen different trumpets in the Bible. We saw a trumpet there on Mount Sinai that sounded long when the Lord came down on that mountain. We saw a trumpet there as the ram's horns were being blown, those trumpet of the ram's horns as the children of Israel were walking around Jericho and the Lord blessed those walls to just fall down flat. We see many instances of the sound of a trumpet. And the Lord says he's coming back with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. He hears the sound behind him as of a trumpet, saying, I am, again, not just the God that was, and not just the God that will be, but the God that is I am, that's here right now. He said, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I'm the beginning of everything. I'm the end of everything. And I'm everything in between. I'm upholding all things by the word of his power. He said, what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake unto me. That was a pretty good thing for John to do. He heard this voice, and he quickly became to understand it was the voice of the Lord, and he heard it behind him, and he turned to the voice. I'm only 54 years old, but I don't hear as good as I used to, and I make a greater effort today to make sure when somebody's talking to me to really turn to them, because I want to be looking them in the face. I want to be able to really see them and hear every word that's being said. I was with a federal judge today having a meeting, and we were having to speak extremely quietly because of individuals that were around. And I was looking at him as well as I could in the face because I could barely hear him. And it was extremely important that I heard every word he said. But I'll tell you, it's even more important that we hear the words of the Lord. When John heard his voice, he turned. He turned to the voice. When he turns to the voice, he sees the Lord. But before he sees the Lord, he sees seven golden candlesticks. The Bible tells us at the end of this chapter that the seven golden candlesticks which I saw are the seven churches. So we actually saw the church before we saw the Lord. And I'll tell you, if we want to see the Lord, good place to look is in his church, because he's right there in the midst of her. He's sitting in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, in the middle of the seven churches, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. He turns to the voice and he sees the church. And in the middle of the churches, he sees the Lord. And the Lord is dressed like the great high priest of the Old Testament. And John's reminded, John, I've not forgotten you. John, I know you're going through tribulation. John, I know you've been faithful in preaching the gospel, and you've been faithful in the testimony of me, the Lord Jesus Christ. I hadn't forgotten you, John. But I'm still right here with you. Don't ever think I've left you. Don't ever think I've forsaken you, because I'm right here, John. We see the sweetness of the Lord being our high priest. And when you go back and you look in Exodus chapter 28, you'll see the garments of the high priest. I'll begin reading in Exodus 28 and verse 9. It said, "And thou shalt make two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel." I'm going to tell you, when something's graved on something, you can't erase it. You can't get it off of there, but those names were graved on them. Six of their names on one stone, and the other six of the names on the rest of the other stone, according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone. Like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. You see how many times he said graved or engraved? When the Lord says something once, it's important. But I'll tell you, he's driving that point home that they're not written in pencil, but they're engraven on these stones, not to be removed. And there thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial, or stones of remembrance unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial." Here, the Lord, he's dressed like a high priest, and those images of the high priest Aaron would have likely come to John's mind, and he would have been reminded that our high priest, he sees the Lord here dressed as our high priest, and he bears upon his shoulders the names of the children of Israel. Now, I'm going to tell you what's borne on somebody's shoulders. Isaiah would write that the government is upon the Lord's shoulders. His name shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know, the military oftentimes has ranks, and I believe the Navy calls it rates. Brother Ken could tell me that. Either of these military guys, if I mess it up, you can tell me. But a lot of times they have their ranks or their rates on their dress uniforms on their shoulders. That's a prominent place. You can look right at the shoulder of that military officer and be reminded of their rank. And I'm going to tell you, as the priest of God came before God Almighty, it was a reminder that that high priest was bearing the names of the children of Israel to God. God would never, ever forget his people. God would never, ever forget his names, the names of the children of Israel. I love what it says in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 16. "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Not only the names, as was born on the shoulders of the high priest, but he said, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. The Lord will never forget us. A woman may forget his her sucking child, but the Lord will never, ever forget us. And I'm going to tell you, when our names are born by the Lord Jesus Christ and the God the Father, the word name is more than just the letters of our name. If I were to call some of y'all's names out tonight, your name means more to me than, I'll just use Brother Travis's example, than the T and the R and the A and the B and the I and the S. What I think of when I think of Brother Travis's name, I think of who he is. I think of his attributes. I think of his characteristics. I think of the kind of man that he is. I think the kind of minister that he is. Names represents the person and who they are. And the Lord Jesus Christ bears our names before the Father. He's our great high priest. That's why Hebrews would tell us that we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's our high priest. Therefore, let us come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's our intercessor. He's our high priest, and he bears our names upon his shoulders unto God the Father. You know, to be on the shoulder of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a pretty good place to be. I remember when I was a little boy and a dog got after me one time and Daddy put me on his shoulders. The dog couldn't get me on Daddy's shoulders. Could have gotten me on the ground, but not on Daddy's shoulders. I was safe on Daddy's shoulders. I remember when I'd go to the zoo and I was a little fella and everybody in the world would be in front of me and I couldn't see nothing. Till Daddy put me on his shoulders. Then I could see things I never saw before. The Lord, our great high priest, has put us upon his shoulders. We're able to see through the Holy Spirit of God, through an eye of faith, things we've never seen before. We're able to see the beauties of his kingdom and the glory of his kingdom. We're able to approach under his rich throne of grace and see the splendor and the glory and the grace and the love that's found there. But not only would the high priest have the names of the children of Israel upon his shoulders, but if you look in verse 21, when it's talking about the breastplate, it said, and the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of the signet. Everyone with his name shall be according to the 12 tribes. If you look in verse 29, as it continues to talk about the breastplate and the names that are upon the stones on the breastplate, and Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart. Not only are we upon the shoulders of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're upon his heart. When he goeth into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. He'll never forget us. We're upon his shoulders. He'll never forget us. We're engraven in the palms of his hands. He'll never forget us, for he bears us before God Almighty upon his heart. We were upon his heart before the foundation of the world. We were upon his heart as he walked the hills of Galilee. We were upon his heart as he died upon the cross of Calvary. We were the joy that was set before him. He bore us on his heart, and he died for every single one of our sins. As you see him described, you see that back in Revelation, he had a garment down to the foot, and he was girt about the paps with a golden girdle in his head, and his hairs were white like wool. We're reminded of the purity of the Lord and how he has given us of his righteousness and holiness. As Isaiah would write, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We're reminded of what our great high priest did for us on the cross of Calvary. He said his eyes were as a flame of fire. And fire in the Bible generally is represented the very presence of God, and it's also represented the judgment of God. Represented the presence of God is that God spoke out of that burning bush and that flame of fire. It spoke about the judgment of God as God rained down flaming fire upon Egypt when those hailstones mixed with fire and when he destroyed Sodom with fire. But I'll tell you, it also reminds us of the judgment of God upon Christ when he was that Passover lamb that would be roasted with fire. It was an emblem of the fiery judgment of God that the Lord Jesus would take upon himself for my sins and for yours. And he purged every single sin. We see here our great high priest with flames of fire, with eyes as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass. Brass, the altar of brass and altar of bronze was there in the courtyard of the tabernacle where the sacrifices were made. Again, representing the sweet sacrifice that the Lord Jesus would be upon the cross of Calvary for us. His feet were like unto fine brass. You know, brass is actually an antimicrobial and it kills germs and it's a germicidal. And the perfect feet of the Lord, you know, if we'll follow in his steps, we'll be okay. Said they burned in a furnace and his voice is the sound of many waters. You know, the sound of many waters, the sound of an ocean is a powerful sound. It's a sound of strength and might, but yet it's comforting. And the voice of the Lord is a voice of strength and power and might, but yet it's a comforting voice. And the Lord's little sheep love to hear the voice of the shepherd. It goes on down, and for the sake of time, I'll go down. It's when the John saw him, verse 17, he said, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I'm the first and the last. John almost could not stand the glory of the sight of the Lord, and he fell on his feet as a dead man. He had already seen the Lord. He had already heard the Lord. But now he feels the Lord. He feels the touch of his gentle hand, and the Lord laid his right hand upon him, his hand of strength and power and might. He said, fear not. I'm the first and the last. I'm everything you need, John. I'm the first thing you need, and I'm the last thing you need. You know, I try to fulfill my own needs sometimes. But the Lord's our first need. The Lord's our last need. He said, I'm the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. He's our high priest who lived on the, for us as he walked along the hills of Galilee, lived the perfect sinless life, totally and completely fulfilled the law in every single way. But he was dead. And he died because he loved you. And he died because he loved me. But he didn't stay that way. For after he finished the work on Calvary's tree, after 3 days and three nights, he's alive. He was raised in power and in great glory. And he'll never die again. He's alive. forevermore. Some of the great high priests that lived in the Old Testament, one would pass on and another would come. We have a high priest that's alive forevermore. And he ever lives to bear our names on his shoulders before God the Father and to bear our names on his heart. He'll never ever forget us. He's our faithful high priest. What a blessing. May God bless you, is my prayer.